Well, good morning. How are you guys today? We're going to try that again. Good morning. The answer is we're good. All right. How are you guys today? There we go. Those of you that don't know me, my name is Mark Swartley, and I be the director of Spruce Lake. Johnny got to introduce himself that way this morning, and I'm proud to have passed that title to him, and he's doing it. Since January, they gave me a new title. I'm not sure what it means, but it still gets me coffee at Wawa for $1.99. So, I am still here for those of you that are like, what? Why did Johnny introduce himself that way? Mark, where's Mark? Mark did not go anywhere. They are asking me to manage the Pinebrook property, and hopefully this doesn't keep doing that, and the new Wilderness Camp property, and what we're building in cabins. Some of you are here for the first time this year and asking, how's it going, Spruce Lake? It's going well. To you that's filled, that's new. It's returned. Those of you who would know that 2018 and 2019 were fantastic years here, and God has filled us past anything that occurred prior to COVID. And we are astounded by what he's doing both at the Pinebrook campus and this campus. And we're in awe of what God is doing and the blessing he continues to pour on these properties and the ministry and the staff that serve here at both properties. It is great to be with you this morning. Those of you that were here on the holidays, you seasonal campers or you staff, no, I am not speaking every holiday weekend this summer. Just so happens that Memorial Day, the speaker's brother passed away, and I spoke then, and then this was my only scheduled weekend. And those of you that are used to me speaking Labor Day, they passed me over. So you won't have to listen three times this summer if you're here for the holiday weekends. So we are working right now on the passage in Ephesians 2. We'll trade it out. Sure, why not? Shall we try that? Thank you, Johnny. I don't have a voice that carries, so if that gives out, you won't hear a word, which maybe you'd like. No. Where was I? We're working through Ephesians 2 this year with the theme of Saved by Grace. And it's at all campuses and it's through all programs, and it's based on Ephesians 2. I'm going to read you the first 12 verses or so of Ephesians 2 to give you a context of what we're talking about. So if you want to turn there, Ephesians 2 starts out like this. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of you also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of your own flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were all by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved and raised up by God with Christ and seated with him in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age he might show his incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us through Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. It is not of yourself, it's a gift, not of works, so that any man can boast. That chapter holds a lot for those of us that walk around and go, yeah, if they knew who I really was, they wouldn't want me around here. But grace covers that. Christ's gift to us covers those things. Grace is usually defined as undeserved favor. That is what salvation is to any one of us that accepts it. Undeserved. We did not do anything to get there. Earlier this year, Memorial Day, I spoke on the first couple verses there, and I defined the term others. And we talked about how Christians are supposed to be reaching the others, not condemning the others, not saying that's them and this is us and aren't we good and aren't they not? And we talked about that for a minute, that others, these others are indeed actually us. Because the passage itself says, in which we used to live, the spirit of darkness, these transgressions and sins were in us. The same ones we're claiming that others have. This very passage said, yeah, you once were there too. And it's by God's grace only. And we talked about this at length on Memorial Day. And we talked about the fact that there is no others. There is nothing different between us and others, the other side of whatever equation you want to put yourself on, sin. There's no difference between them and us, because at one time we were. The difference is what Christ did and offered. That's it. And we spent time talking about sinners. We are them. Let's not draw a line. And our challenge that day was to take this brokenness that we realized that we had, fill it with Christ's grace that he gave us, and pass it out to others that we encounter in our day. Give it out as freely as Christ gave it to us. If you were here, you would have heard me say, he was perfect and offered grace first. We're broken. Can't we find space within our journey and our walk to start with the grace side of the conversation for the other person, whatever topic you're working on with them? And we talked about all the topics, but not for this morning. The reality is that everyone is looking for a relationship with Christ. They may not know it, but this world's broken. And that brokenness leaves a hole. And that hole is only filled by one thing, and that's God's grace to them so that he then can speak into their lives and become personal to them and their journey as well. That is where we started in this passage just a couple weeks ago, where I started. You know, but I realized that not everyone may be at a place to share that grace with the others. Some of us, maybe all of us, maybe particularly me, forget sometime that grace covers us. That grace gives us an opportunity to experience a fullness from Christ that can only exist then. Life circumstances causes us to go, yeah, that's good for them, but not for me. And if you're in that spot, you can't really give God's grace out freely until you know you are freely covered completely for who you are and things of your past, and quite honestly, things of today that we screw up on. The reality is that this story kind of starts in verse 4, after where we started on Memorial Day. Verse 4, I buried it. Verse 4 starts like this. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath. Verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. Are we? Have you embraced what alive in Christ means? Or do you have those areas like me that go, yeah, grace is good, but I better work a little harder because I know that part of me that I really didn't give to him yet. I better step through that ring and get some things done on his behalf so that I get that extra coverage. That's not what it says. Because of his love, he made us alive in Christ. No buts, no ends, no beginnings. It just is. And we know that working our way to get anything from that relationship doesn't work in our heads. But somewhere deep inside, we often are like, I better be nicer. I better do something that shows me spiritual. The fact of the The fact of it is, in the past number of weeks, I've watched individuals try to work out of that pain, try to work to avoid that issue within their lives. In the past few weeks, I may have indeed worked myself to try to work out of that pain a little, not fully embracing the gift of grace into my life. I'm going to share with you three stories this morning, kind of from different areas of the Bible, to try to say, if you're hearing that voice, if you've heard that voice recently, or if you're afraid of hearing that voice in the future, let's look at Jesus's walk here for a moment to remind ourselves his grace is sufficient for even me. Ready? Let's take a journey through in Mark. If you go to Mark 2, verses 13 to 17 with me for a moment. Mark 2, verses 13 to 17. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked the disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Upon hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners." So I picked this particular story because it kind of fits me. Many of you would know that I had a life prior to Spruce Lake and a business career prior to Spruce Lake, and I was, well, let's say, not in one of those careers that you go to a party and tell people you're in. I was an insurance agent. And when you tell somebody your insurance at a party, they look for the punch bowl, and they're going to go get drinks for somebody. The tax collector of this day was kind of like that. Nobody liked a tax collector. Maybe even still today. But the reality of it is Jesus is walking along the lake, talking and teaching many people, and he chooses Levi, a tax collector. Why him? What did Jesus see within him that we don't? What grace in his life did he need that Jesus could offer him on that journey at that time in his life? And then watch this, the verse in 15. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. Many people or many sinners? Jesus made room for all to eat at his table with him. He took time with them. He offered them a grace in that introduction that, guys, we need to hear for ourselves. When we feel less than because of our vocation, because of things that have happened in our life, because of mistakes maybe we made honestly, but it wasn't right, we need to hear Jesus saying, "Come sit at my table. It's okay. I have room for you." Levi, a tax collector. When I'm an insurance broker and I want more to work myself to be near Jesus and become a camp director, guess what I realized? It's still me, still here. Same exact emotional feeling of not enough. Even though 7 days a week, I work for him. It doesn't go away because you change vocations, change positions, change houses, change towns, counties, countries. We have to look at him and see him inviting us to his table. See him saying, "Even you, whatever that is, you name yours." He also did this later with a little guy named Zacchaeus. Remember that story? Come down out of the tree. At the end of that passage, verse 10 of Luke 19, we won't have time to turn because I'm going to keep going. Luke 19, verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and saved the lost," which we are. We're broken, and that's okay, because God made space for us. He made room for us in his kingdom to enter. There's a very famous story about Peter after Christ's death that I want to highlight next. If you would turn to John 21, starting in verse 15, I'd like to recant the story of Peter. Some of us have said this phrase, "If I ever darken a church's door or whatever, the sky will fall," because I've rejected Christ many times before. I have literally heard people go, "I don't go to church because, yeah, there is. I've done some things." There's a Christian song, there's a country song, not Christian, there's a country song out there right now from a guy named Jelly Roll. I'm not telling you to follow this guy. I'm saying he's written a song that says, I need a savior, but I spent more time Sunday mornings drunk in my bed than in a church. He's rejected Christ. And yet he's calling out for a savior in this song. Now he's trying to save him from his girlfriend leaving him, but whole nother thing, play it backwards, his girlfriend will come back, right? That's the joke. The reality of it is this guy is as broke as they come, and he's still looking for a savior in his songs. And you listen to the whole song, and you kind of go, he doesn't know what he's asking for. But he has a really true statement about there. He said, "Why do I deserve a savior? I do all this wrong." If you found yourself at some point saying, "Jesus couldn't love me, I've done too much against him personally," let's listen to this conversation with Peter for a second. When they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said to Simon, "Son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Take care of my sheep." Verse 17, the third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt by this because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Jesus's biggest time of need, a time when Jesus is on trial, is being beaten, is being threatened, is probably going to die, Peter turned his back on his friend and said, "Nope, I'm going to save my hide tonight. I'm out." And here's Jesus on the beach, eating fish, saying, "Come back." Can you hear that coming through the ages, through the decades, to maybe to us? No matter what we've done to turn our back on God, there's space, there's room, and there's time. Peter was restored, and actually restored in his weakness to become who Peter became. Our rejection of his love does not mean he will reject us. There's an even more discouraging time in Jesus' life that he shows his grace and his love for others, including us. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, on his right side and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." They divided up his clothes and cast lots. He is hanging on a cross, folks, showing us his love to the people who just did that to him. Again, he's God. We probably couldn't pull this off in the pain he was in, but he did. He did it so that it could pass through the generations to say to you and to me, "I love you. I have room for you. I don't care what you did. I will call you to me and I will help you journey from here. Verse 35, the people stood watching and the rulers even sneered at him and they said, he saved others, let him save himself. If he's God, the Messiah is the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, are you the king of the Jews? Save yourself. Where is it written? There it was written, a notice above his head, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and save us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? Since you are under the same sentence, we are being justly punished, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. This guy is hanging on a cross. And he is admitting publicly, I deserve to be here. I don't know what he did. The scriptures don't say. But whatever it is, he knows, I did this to myself. And in doing that to himself, he's come to some realization of himself. Not so much the guy on the other side. But he got to a point where he said, this is the Messiah. And the last act that he did was saying, Lord, Lord, remember me, please. And Christ said, absolutely. You're in. Wait a minute. I've been a Christian since I'm about 8 years old on the volleyball court here at Spruce Lake. I surely deserve, I don't think he deserves, no. That's not how this works. That's how the Satan wants us to think this works. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday. It matters who you call your Lord and Savior today. There's room for you. And everything you hear different in your head, whether it's about yourself or the person you want to hurl insults at, is a lie from Satan. God's covered you. And he's covered them if they choose him. One did, one didn't on that cross that day. Doesn't mean they all will, but there's sure room. These stories are just snapshots. We could go further, and you could probably find a sin that's in your life that Scripture spoke to. If we talk about the ills of our society, they were back then too. They just weren't publicized and glorified in the media, internet, and every tabloid magazine you can find. Follow David. He hit a bunch of those for men. Follow any of the women that followed, many of the women that followed, the Samaritan woman, Mary. There's divorce. You name it, you can probably find where Christ has said, I have room for you. And if you're not hearing that for yourself, it's a lie from Satan. Because he has room for you. Jesus saved the man hanging on the cross that day. He admitted his crimes. He knew he deserved death. Yet Jesus offered grace. When we were little kids, many of us were taught a Bible verse about salvation. Which one was it, guys? What am I going to talk about? John 3:16. It covers it all, guys. You ready for this? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son to the world to condemn it, but to save the world through him. The condemnation in our heads is not of God. If you've accepted Christ, if you're walking that journey and you're being told in your head you're not enough, it's a lie. Turn away from it. Turn back into God and ask him to show you the truth about yourself, that you are a loved and cared for child of God. So today, the others that we often look at and go, why did they do this stuff to themselves? We recognize it's us too. And so today, when we recognize the others are really just a different part of the journey from us, maybe anew we can look at Scripture and remember others saved, covered by grace, completely whole child of God. And then we can pass out that back to the others. It's a circle where God allows us to share in his free gift and share giving out his free gift when you can accept it for yourself. So today, maybe anew, you can accept his love, his grace. Doesn't matter your position, your employment, your marital status, your age. His grace is current, alive, and enough for you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for an opportunity to share more of your scripture today. It's alive. It's alive in our lives. It's alive in our days. Lord, you have continued to show that here at Spruce Lake. Thank you. Lord, for each person sitting here today, I ask that you'd speak anew, that you'd take every word that was spoken, take it captive, cut away that which is not necessary, and only speak to them your truth. Lord, bless them for their time. Bless them for spending time with their families. Care for them, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.